Thanks, Jim.
Yep.
Well, good morning, everybody. Bet you didn't think you were going to be hearing from me this morning, did you? That makes two of us. You know what? I'm going to do something real quick.
I don't know how you wear a robe up here.
It's killing me. Okay, there we go. I'm a little more comfortable that way. So, we're in week two of our sermon series called He Said What? And I would just like to point out that we sit down as a staff and plan through all of the sermon series and the topics for the coming year. And so last year, this was the only contribution I had to the brainstorming meeting, is let's talk about scriptures that are confusing and hard to rationalize and all those things. And I was rewarded by getting to preach on this scripture. So Thursday afternoon of this last week, I was sort of regretting my decision, but here we are. So, when it comes to scripture that makes you say, what? This one has always done it for me. I didn't come to bring peace, but cause division. Or, if you look at the telling in Matthew, which Jim read so wonderfully for us, it's a lot more violent. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword, for I have come to set a man against his father, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Talk about a passage that just makes you go, ugh. I mean, it's shocking, isn't it? Isn't it the same man who, and again, Jim read the passage for us, just a few chapters earlier in Matthew, literally says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Now that's confusing. Am I right? Can you imagine being one of the disciples, though, on this issue, right? I mean, let's set our imagination free on this for a second. And I like to pick on the disciples because, well, you guys know I have a sense of humor by now. Hopefully you do. And I think reading scripture is no different. I think sometimes you just have to let your sense of humor into your scripture reading process. And these stories, after all, are about people, and people are funny. Enter the disciples, stage left. Here are these guys. All they could do was ask silly and stupid questions, am I right? You know, and Jesus is always like scratching his head, you know, yelling at him. You ever pay attention to the stuff that they say, right? Remember the time they're like, hey, Jesus, which one's better? Who's the best of us? Who's the best? Like, where are we going to sit when we get to heaven? Can you imagine, like, talk about things that make you say, what? Like, Jesus is like, what? Are you guys even listening to anything I say? Or what about the time that Jesus says, remember that when he was talking about when I was hungry, you fed me, and when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. You all remember this scripture, right? What do the disciples say right after that? Like, it went completely over their head, you know? So Jesus is going on, I was hungry, and you fed me, I was thirsty. And you know there's some guy in the back going, and he, like, nudges his neighbor. He's like, did you know he was going through all that? I didn't know that was happening to him. Matter of fact, I'm going to speak up. Jesus, when were you going through all that? When were you hungry? We didn't know you were going through all that. And Jesus is like, oh my gosh, these guys are killing me. So if neither of those two illustrate the story, I want to tell you just my funniest disciple moment in the whole Bible for a second. It's in Mark chapter 8. And the disciples and Jesus are getting ready to go on a boat. Surprise! Oh, I'm just kidding. These guys love their boat trips, apparently, right? They're doing it all the time, it seems like. So you think by now the disciples would know that Jesus wants to pick up and go at any second. So you think that you would, like, maybe be prepared with a couple things, like a snack or something, you know? And so it says, Mark 8, verse 14, but the disciples discovered they had forgotten to bring any food. All right? So picture this scene. The disciples are on the boat, right? They're waiting on Jesus, and let's say, I don't know, Peter is like, okay, guys, we're all in the boat. Jesus is coming, you know. Who's got the bread? Anybody? Whose turn was it to bring the bread? Anybody? No? Who brought the bread? So, right, can you imagine, right? And so they're going back and forth about this, and then Jesus, you know, walks out of nowhere. He's walking towards the boat. I mean, come on, he's our Lord and Savior, right? He had to have walked like this, right? And he enters the boat, and Peter's all like, shh, all right, everybody, just put a sandal in it. Here comes Jesus. So they all get in the boat, right? And Jesus is like, okay, here we go, another boat trip. All right, I got to learn these guys something, so let me conjure up. Sounds like they're talking about bread back there. Let me see, bread. And Jesus conjures up this analogy. Beware the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod. Well, we don't even get to find out what this was analogy was about, because in Scripture it says they decided he was saying this because they hadn't brought any bread. So they're immediately not paying attention. They're just like, shh, you see? He knows. He knows we forgot the bread. I mean, these guys, they were the best sideshow in the whole New Testament, if you ask me. Just completely insane. Talk about things that make you go, ugh. At least we have that example, right, in the disciples. So the reason I say all this is because, yet again, this passage, the disciples had to have been confused. Right? Can you imagine somebody sitting back there going, man, the other day he just said, blessed are the peacemakers. Like, are we not doing that anymore? Did I miss the lesson yesterday? Like, what happened? You know, it's confusing. And it confuses me too. And I generally struggle with a lot of the Gospels and a lot of the parables. And specifically, I'm always thinking about how I would explain or converse certain passages with other people, specifically to non-Christians. And for me, in my world, I have plenty of friends who are not Christian. And they think they know all about it, is the interesting part. You know, they're very well informed, and they are armed with all of the atrocities that the church has committed over the last millennia, and they seem to know the passages of Scripture that are hypocritical, and they know when the church has looked the other way, when people are being oppressed, yada, yada, yada. They know what it means to be Christian, and they don't want any part of it. So these discussions rarely come up, but I'm always thinking, you know, how can I talk about things like this when it is confusing, right? Those two passages in Matthew are very, they seem hypocritical of one another. And it's hard to swallow. You know, how do I explain that, this concept specifically? I mean, Jesus said it, right? We can't walk away from that. We can't hide from it. It's in there. And it can seem pretty cut and dry if you put the wrong glasses on. Jesus is basically saying, what I say goes, and this is what's right, and I don't care what you think about it. I mean, that was kind of his whole MO, right? Matter of fact, this whole ministry I'm leading is most likely going to tear your families apart, and your friends might never talk to you again. That's basically what he's saying. And I think in this day and age, this is dangerous territory. And so we have to talk about passages like this. A savior that talks of bringing the sword instead of peace? I mean, don't we think that sentiments like that are wrong? Don't we believe that to be wrong? That division and violence is wrong? As a follower of this savior, I have to say, that makes me uncomfortable. All right, so am I being dramatic? I don't know. Do we need to list out all the times in history that Christians have taken up the sword? That a scripture verse ripped out of its context and placed in the hands of a wrong person, what that could turn into? You know, this last week was September 11th. And I've spent the last 18 years of my life being told that there's a religion in this world that is inherently violent. Have you heard that? Politicians have been telling me. The media, news outlets have been telling me. Apparently it's true, because they have verses and phrases from their holy book that are violent and perpetuate violence. And here we stand right out of our Savior's mouth. I have come to bring fire on the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. It makes me cringe. But luckily for us, that's the greatest word in our entire belief, isn't it? But for many years now, I felt a nagging at my spirit that when it comes to the Bible, at this point in my life, saying that this book is the Word of God just isn't enough for me anymore. I have to believe that there's something deeper going on under the surface all the time, especially in this passage. I mean, Jesus knew that this message he was bringing, this new covenant, hope for the hopeless, it challenged the status quo, that somehow he would simultaneously upset the ruling government and church leadership. I mean, can you imagine doing that today? How many friends would you make, right? You ever challenge the status quo? Bringing the sword and causing division. See, I don't believe that to be instructional. I think sometimes we put on certain glasses when we read scripture and we think everything is instructional. And I, for me, don't believe that to be true about this passage. He wasn't ordaining us into a life of violent conflict in his name for the sake of salvation. Although throughout Christian history, and not just Christians, other religions too, as we know, have thought so. After all, it wasn't take up your sword and follow me, was it? It was never instructional. Jesus knew that the ministry he was leading, this new way of life, the notion that he would die on a cross for all sins and be raised 3 days later, well, he knew some people wouldn't like that very much. And if you chose to follow him, it would likely rip your family apart, turn siblings, spouses, children, cities, countries against each other, ruin friendships, start wars. He wasn't saying it was right. He was just saying it was true. That Jesus, as part God and part man, knew human nature. And he knew what we would do with this information. It was never instructional. It was just prophetic. He was just telling the future. He knew human nature. At our worst, we would slaughter and kill in his name. And that's a past that, unfortunately, we have to own. But, luckily for us, Christ hasn't put his hope in our worst. He's put his hope in our best. Time after time, Christ puts his money on the fact that we're going to get it right. When we clothe the homeless, when we feed the hungry, when we free the oppressed, and when we can look somebody in the eye who has wronged us and say, I love you, and really mean it. I don't want to push too many buttons when I say that I get really mad at this book sometimes. It's really frustrating. And I know it makes the world angry too. And I think for me, that's the deeper layer of division that Jesus was getting at. Conflict within. A sword driven between our intellect and our spirit. That to realize that this isn't the gold. This is just simply the mountain waiting for us to mine God's truth out of it. And as Christians, we have to own that process. And it is a process. We have to make sure we keep challenging ourselves with these stories time and time again. And just to accept, sometimes it's hard. Amen. Thank you. Would you please stand for our closing hymn?